Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 13. As I mentioned to you, I had a message I was going to preach on our sermon series that we have been doing out of Proverbs, pondering Proverbs and the wisdom that comes from that. We talked about pride, we talked about gossip, and I had a message prepared concerning friendship today that I think in the right time and place would be for us. But for some reason, we're going to change direction this morning. And if the Lord speaks to you this morning, in particular, then thank Him for it, because He is so concerned about you that He changed the whole order of the service just for you. That ought to make you feel pretty special. You know, I have a daughter that's pretty special to me, and I could be doing something very, very, very important. But when my cell phone rings and I flip that up and I see it says Alyssa on that, it changes my whole course of action. She becomes priority. And the Lord loves you that way. That He's willing to change all of what is going on in our plans to speak to you. That's pretty cool, don't you think? That the God of the universe, the one who holds all of what we know that exists in place by His powerful spoken word, took time today to change man's agenda for you. Wow. Say that with me this morning. Wow. Wow. Aren't you glad we serve God and not religion? The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. I was at the gym again this week and I met up with my friend Sky. Joey, good to see you. We're able to chit-chat again. Someday Sky's going to be here. I want you all to meet him. He's a great, big, loud guy. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 1. My little phrase over the beginning of the chapter says, concluding exhortation. We've talked a lot about exhortation here in the body of Christ. That's what God's called us to do for one another, amen? To exhort one another. That word exhort is synonymous with edification. And the word edify means to erect a substructure, if you will, like putting up 2x4s in a wall. For example, that wall that's right there may have a substructure behind it. If we just took drywall and stacked it on top of each other and plastered the seams, it wouldn't be long before a wind or something would blow that over. But when we edify, listen, if we edify a church, if we edify each other, when storms and difficulties and misunderstandings happen, what we do is we learn to work it out according to the Word of God. The tendency for us is to work it out according to what's in the crania, sometimes not very much. Amen? Oh me? Ouch. When we start working from here and not from here, we don't have a very edified church. And so we want to learn to live according to the Word. So he says in chapter 13, keep on loving each other, brothers. Keep on loving each other. You know, we have this attitude that, okay, I can love now and I've got that all over with. Do you understand, those of you that are married, you understand that when you got married, love didn't just sort of come natural. There were times that you had a hard time loving your wife. You're all smart guys. Not one of you said a peep. And there are times that you have a hard time loving your husband. Equally as wise women. Because love takes work. Marriage takes work. How many can say that is true? In fact, if you're not working on your marriage, hear this morning, if you're not working on your marriage, putting effort into your marriage, then more than likely your marriage is either very stale or in a short time may find itself wrecked or wayward. Now, those are words to the wise. That there is a relationship. For example, if I was to want to grow in my relationship with the Lord, but I never opened the Word and I never spent time in prayer, my relationship with the Lord, because of the lack of those two disciplines, that my relationship with the Lord would not grow at all. In fact, my heart would grow cold towards the things of the Lord. And in our spiritual life, that is the way it is, but in our physical life, it is the same. When we have a relationship, if you don't work at the relationship, it eventually will grow cold. There are two words that I often love to use when it comes to marriage, and it's love and honor. And if we really could get these two down in any given marriage, it would help matters so much. The Bible says, women, honor or respect is the key word there, a synonymous word. Women, respect or honor your husbands. And the reason we do that is because husbands are egocentric. Ever notice that about your husband? You know, he learned from real young, standing in front of a mirror, skinny as a toothpick, and going, I'm all that, you know, I can do it. And, you know, the whole story is with guys don't ask for directions because we don't have to ask directions. We know the way. And sometimes we take a real long way to get there, but we know the way. Because guys are, listen, this is the way God made us. I didn't wake up some morning and said, honey, I'm going to be ego today. Paint a great big E on my chest. Eagle man. But the way God made us is to be egocentric. Everything about us is that way. What we do has a great deal of identifying who we are and how successful we're at that. So the ego part of man is the part that needs to be honored and respect. We just respect and honor them because that's how God knows we can communicate to them. Now on the female level, it's love. Love is emotion, part of emotion. And because women are emotional beings, they need to be loved emotionally. Now I always find this very strange because I don't understand why God made us egocentric and women have a hard time speaking that language. And he made women emotional, and men have a hard time speaking that language. Almost without exception, it's very, very difficult for any man to speak an emotional language to his spouse. And I believe if there's any rhyme or reason to it, it's simply for God to say, don't take this relationship for granted. It's going to take work. Sir, you learn to speak emotionally to your wife. And ma'am, learn to speak respectfully and honoring to your husband. Now, I just want to say, looking around, it's fun being up here because I'm looking around, just scanning marriages and faces and trying to read you and what's going on. And I just want to tell you that if those two characteristics are not in your relationship, start today. Start today. Learn what it means to speak emotionally. Learn what it means to speak respectfully. I can tell you real quick what it means to speak respectfully because I'm a man. I know how to speak that language real well. When it comes to speaking emotionally to my wife, there are times that I speak harshly to my wife and I know that I've wounded her emotions. And then it's very quick. You see that happen. It's quick that we need to address that. Honey, I'm sorry I said that and I knew that was hurtful to you. Listen, if you don't correct it when you hear it come out, it's a poison that has a way of seeping into the heart of the woman. And it brings great damage and sometimes long-lasting damage. That's why when you get in fights, you say, "Remember last year when you said..." And the guy has no clue.
"But you told me I was, and you said this."
And he's trying to catch a clue, but really it's not happening. Because he has no idea that those words that he spoke really were painful and hurtful because she's fragile. Picture your wife like a china cup, a teacup, with very fine gold laced around it. That's why when I come out of the gym, I have two bags in my hand because I have mine and I have my wife's. But I'm also racing to the car because I don't want my teacup to have to open her own door. And so I open the door for my wife and let her get in. And even if it's raining out, I don't want my teacup to get ruined. It's expensive. It's precious. It's dainty. It's beautiful. Keep on loving each other, brothers. Speaking to a church setting, what does that mean to us? Do you know that there are certain people in every congregation that you just, they're just not your favorite people to hang out with? But that's okay. Because you're probably not theirs either. But when we learn to love each other for who we are, now listen, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but when we learn to love each other for who we are, as people who have been forgiven by the grace of God, we recognize that He freely forgave us. We freely ought to be able to forgive and love others. When that transaction happens, we break down a lot of the walls of frustration and tension. And that area of humility we talked about Wednesday nights and last Sunday, the antithesis, the opposite, if you will, the antidote for pride, is that humility. Humility carries in its side pocket love. They go hand in hand. And when we learn to love each other, we do that only out of a spirit of humility. Because pride causes us to raise up, "Who do you think you are?" It gives that sort of tone and attitude towards it. So the writer of Hebrews says, keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget brothers, meaning understand that all of us are here the same way that you came to this thing called the gospel or Christianity because of what Jesus Christ did for you. Not because you deserved it, but because He loved you. So look at the person right next to you and say, "You didn't deserve it, but He loved you, therefore you're my brother." Disobedient girls. I heard you say sister. Then he goes on and he says, do not forget to entertain strangers. I think the reason for that is because God puts occasion in our path to see if we really are modeling Christianity on a day-to-day basis. Strangers show up at strange times. There are times I'm here in the office and somebody will just show up. They're strangers to the church. And I've got study to do. I'm in the middle of something. And the stranger shows up. And really what God wants to know is, Joe, are you still walking out this thing properly so that when I put a stranger in your path, that you'll stop and be Jesus to the stranger? It's the good Samaritan with the man on the side of the road, when all of the religious people who were doing God's business had to go to church and had to go do something really important, unlike taking care of this poor, sick, nasty, beat up person. I'm sorry, I got to go to church, don't have time for you right now. And they pass by and go do their thing. But God's saying, I put a stranger in your path. And you see, we can't do this if we don't do the first part, which is to love each other as brothers. Remember, we are all simply beggars trying to show someone else where we got a piece of bread. So do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Now, don't you suppose God could feed and entertain angels himself? Well, sure he could. But he, again, puts them in your path, so it exposes your heart. Remember, those in prison, if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who were mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Now, many of us have no clue what goes on inside the prison walls. But there's another whole ministry there of what should or could happen from a local body to prisons. Now, Dorothy, you're still going to prisons? And Dorothy understands that. She is taking this scripture literally and goes and ministers inside the prison walls to people who are needy, people who don't have regular visits, and she's sharing the love of Christ with them. So remember, fellow prisoners, as though you were one of them, and those who are suffering as though you were going through the suffering yourself. Then he goes on in verse 4. Now, it seems strange with how he starts the first three verses, and then he springboards into this marriage topic. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God shall judge the adulterer and all sexually immoral. Does that not seem like a strange verse to put right after what we just talked about? And yet, it ties together very, very, very well. Now, an adulterer is what? An adulterer is someone who is in a covenant, in a relationship. And you walk down an aisle one day and you stood before a preacher or justice of the peace or whatever, and you know, before God, you till death do us part. And the preacher usually ends the words in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Bringing the presence of God into that situation. So an adulterer is someone who has had a covenant relationship who is breaking it because of who knows what reason. But the bottom line is because they lost the respect or the love for their partner and chased after a cheap counterfeit. Broken a covenant. Now, in Old Testament times, when a covenant was made, there was an animal that was cut right down the middle. Sliced them right down the middle, and they would lay that animal open, blood and guts and all. It had to be a horrible picture. But it was a picture of sacrifice. It was a picture of death. It was a picture of giving. A picture of difficulty and hurt and pain. And when those animals were cut and sliced, and persons would gather one on one side of these animal halves that were there and one on the other side, and oftentimes exchange a piece of material, whether it would be a shoe, a ring, a cloak, or something, usually a shoe. They would take their shoe off. That would be tough for me. I love my Cole Haans. I would take their shoe off, and they would hand it to the partner on the other side of the covenant. They would hand it to them, and then they would walk through one at a time in between, and they would switch sides. And they would keep each other's belonging until that covenant, by whatever reason, had been broken. And when it had been broken, the shoe became the thing. They would go to the elders of the tribe and say, listen, 9.5. He's got the other one, and I've got this one. He gave this to me 6 months ago, and he broke the covenant. I have proof that he made the covenant right here. But the act of going between those two animals that were slaughtered and laid open was the act of saying, may it be to me as was done to that animal if I break the covenant. How many know that's scary? And God looks at marriage in that way. That is why God uses language like, I hate divorce. Those are strong words. I hate divorce. There are many other things that God hates, but amongst them is this issue of divorce. And so he's talking about these issues of adultery here, being adulterous and keeping the marriage pure, and that God will judge the adulterer and all. He lumps a little parenthesis or a clause on here, not just adulterers, but all sexually immoral people. We live in a generation of young people that have listened to all kinds of lies in the area of sexuality. And there are types of sex that many of our Assembly of God children, I don't know of any in this particular church, but I know of others that have said this type of sexual activity is okay because you're not having intercourse. And have kind of made a smear or smudge of the truth of God's word. And in essence, what they've done is they've gone as close to the edge of the cliff as they can, and they say, this is okay. It's all right that we're doing this. It's really okay. In their mind, they're saying it's okay. And yet everything about them is saying just the opposite. They know in their heart it's wrong. And I just want to say today, in the culture in which we live, which is immersed in immorality, as believers, we have an obligation. We have a covenant. Listen, Jesus laid himself open on the cross. And he made a covenant with you that day when he spilled his blood. He said, as many as will receive me, to them shall become the sons of God. And when we choose to act outside of the relationship of purity and moral purity, God looks at that and he has to be looking at it disdainedly. And he has to be repulsed in that. There's a song that we sing. I was trying to remember the words at the very end. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. That line haunts me because I really wonder how much we really do know what it cost for our sin to be on that cross. Do we take the covenant that God's made for us seriously enough where we say, God, you're right. You died for me. You gave all that you had for me. And I want to live all that I can for you. Now, I know whenever we touch on this issue of divorce and all of that, we kind of have to walk tiptoe-ish because some of you in here have been divorced. And I understand that. And I feel for you. I can't imagine what it's like to walk through those shoes. And having talked to many divorced people, they feel like they have a big scarlet letter stamped on their forehead. I can't imagine what it's like to live life that way all the time. So because of that, I want to put a clause on here and say that no matter where we are and what sin we commit. The Bible says that He is faithful and just to forgive us of all sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many understand that today? All. That's a pretty big word. Now, we in the church realm don't like that word all because we kind of put on our self-righteous suits and our self-righteous fingers and our self-righteous whatever we want to put on. And we say, well, that person was this and that person was that. But if they have come to Christ and asked for forgiveness for whatever that might be and has stand before Him, at that point, listen, when the Bible says He's faithful, that means consistently. It happens every time. But the word judicial, faithful and just, judicial. The judge sitting behind the big desk, he has the final word. He's the one that says, it's sealed, it's finished, it's done. That judge is the one that says to you that your sins are forgiven, they're gone. The biggest struggle we have, I think, is forgiving ourselves and trying to forget ourselves. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about in any area of your life where you struggle. Say, Lord, forgive me, and we have a hard time believing that He really did forgive and He really did forget. But God does that, doesn't He? He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's interesting that the Lord brought us down this road this morning, and I'm not really sure why, but if it's you that the Lord spoke to today, please know, again, that He changed the whole order of the service just for you. I just want to finish with just a few of the verses following that. Keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. Because God said, here it is. Because God said, when God says something, it's time to sit up and listen. Because God said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with, what's that next word? Say it that way. So we say with confidence this morning, the Lord is my helper. Does Ken get it up here? Let's read this together. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid what man do to me. Let's repeat that. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid what man do to me. Who's your helper? Who do we fear? Who do we fear? We fear the Lord. Do we fear man? No. Because God's on our side. The Lord is on my side. Who is there against me? Amen. Father, as we close the service out this morning, I thank You for the redirection of the Holy Spirit this morning. I thank You for lives that You have touched and are going to continue to touch. I thank You for the gifts of the Spirit that You have, You want to use and operate in here, and by faith I'm believing, Lord, that that is going to happen soon. I ask, Lord, that You would give all of us the desire for Your gifts to be used in our lives, exercised through our lips, through our hands. Lord, that we would glorify You in all that we say and do. And Father, I pray that You'd begin to release a spirit of holiness upon us. When we get to heaven, it's a holy place, and no flesh can stand. Lord, I ask that You would release us from lives of flesh and help us to walk in the Spirit. For the Spirit gives life. And Lord, we want to be walking alive, not walking dead. I pray that You would release us into the newness and the freshness of Your life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Look to someone right next to you and say, I love you, brother. Love you, sister.